Hello and welcome back to another episode of Into the 99, where we've got 99 cards, because Commander's number one. I am one of your hosts, Daniel. I am joined today with Slothy. Slothy, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, thanks. How about yourself?
I'm pretty good. Just still working on my button setup. It's getting there. But it's been a pretty good week and stuff. We both did birthday stuff this week, so yeah. How was your birthday?
Well, it wasn't too bad. I went to work and then came home and was watching the new Fallout show.
Is it good?
It's actually really good. Incredibly gory, which I like.
Okay.
And they tackle a couple questions that a lot of people did have about the games.
It's not too bad. I should check it out. Yeah. I know nothing about Fallout, as you guys could tell from the spoilers episode.
Yeah.
Other than that, we went golfing. I haven't gone golfing in ages, but it was nice.
Okay.
I got a little bit of golf in, did a nice big dinner. It was not too bad. But
yeah, it was a nice week for golfing.
It was too hot out. I like the cold. The temperature swings have been crazy. I like a 5 degrees, you know? A nice 5 degrees outside is good for me. 15 is already like I'm already threatening the wife to turn the AC on. I'm like, but it's just so hot in the house. We've just got to come on. You'll be okay. She likes sweaters, so it's okay.
Evens out.
She likes to be a comfy little guy. We've got the other section of and Sherman's not feeling well. Sherman, feel better soon.
Yeah,
we love you so much. Yes. So we've got the other Outlaws of Thunder Junction. Spoiler: I had to scroll up to see what it was. We'll just, I guess, jump into it. There's so many to rip through with this. It's spoiler season every 2 weeks. I was going to say two. Yeah. We talked a little bit about it, but we might start doing spoilers as like almost more of a bonus content kind of thing, like a middle of the week episode, so people aren't just bogged down with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's kind of the route we'll go, because it sucks every like 4 weeks, basically, like we're not getting through the decks we want to get through and talking about the commanders we want to talk about, because it's spoiler season every 3 days. And then we've got to do like commander spoilers because there's so many commanders. And then like the clue thing was 4 episodes.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, right. Like, and again, the same thing. This is 2. We might not even get through all of these because there's a crazy amount of them, right? So we'll do our best. But with that said, let's start it right off. You jump us in with the Annie.
Sure. Yeah, the first one we got here is Annie Flash, the Veteran. 3 and Naya, so red, green, white for a 4/5 legendary human rogue with Flash. When Annie Flash, the Veteran, enters the battlefield, if you cast it, return target permanent card with mana value 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield tapped. And whenever Annie Flash becomes tapped, exile the top 2 cards of your library and you may play them this turn.
That's an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you have to cast it is kind of a bummer to keep getting it in and out, right? Like, that's it's a little bit of a problem because, like, you want to flicker this, right? You've got white for flickering. You've got that cool Sun Titan ability. But then you also have, like, when it becomes tapped ability. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Something about having to pay at least 6 mana.
To get my 3 CMC back, you know?
Yeah.
But you could make a pretty good like tap shenanigans to constantly get that, because it's not only once a turn.
Mm-hmm.
So really easy to if you wanted to run this as a more of a like spell slinging deck, Naya spell slinging could be kind of cool. And then you can constantly do any like tap and untap shenanigans to like just any of the tap and untap kind of combo things, the like pillow palette kind of things, you know, to like dig through for answers could be kind of fun, but it seems just like a lot of hoops to jump through personally.
Yeah, definitely does.
Yeah. We've got an Archangel of Tides reprint. Great. We have Assimilation Aegis, 1/1 white, 1 blue. It's an equipment. When it enters, exile up to 1 target creature until it leaves the battlefield. When it becomes attached to a creature, for as long as it's attached to a creature, that creature becomes a copy of a creature card exiled with it. And equip for 2. It's all right.
Yeah.
But I mean, but again, it's an enters exile up to one, so you get one. I don't know. It seems like not. I wish it exiled on attack and then brought them back, kind of like a Serenity Angel kind of thing.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
I kind of like how this one can be used defensively as well.
Yeah.
Because it's not target creature you control. But yeah, other than that, I do wish it was attack as well.
Yeah, just a one blink just seems eh.
Yeah.
I do like the next one. You want to take this one?
Yeah. Next up, we've got Bristly Bill, Spine Sower. One and a green for a 2/2 legendary plant druid with landfall. Whenever a land enters a battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature. And you can pay 3 double green to double the number of +1/+1 counters on each creature you control.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I play a lot of +1/+1 counter tokeny decks that I think this is going to fit very nicely into.
I've been looking at more and more Tanazir, the Quandrix Elder Dragon mm-hmm. from Strixhaven and stuff, the whenever you attack. And it's all like really low power stuff. And there's been so many good 1/1 power things. I really have to give that deck the update. But the double the number of 1/1 counters on a creature you control on a deck where I'm trying to put counters on my commander or any Hydra deck is crazy.
Yeah, definitely.
I do like this next new one as well, the double down. 3 and a blue. Mm. Whenever you cast an outlaw spell, you copy it. And outlaws are assassins, mercenaries, pirates, rogues, and warlocks. I like it.
Yeah,
that's pretty decent. Those are that's a great like upgrade for pirate decks.
Yeah, true.
Like I think pirates are the ones that are going to get it the most at the moment, but
yeah, pirates or rogues, I think.
Yeah, rogues will be in a really good place.
Mm-hmm. Then we've got Final Showdown, single white for an instant. It's got spree. So you can pay 1 more to have all creatures lose all abilities until end of turn. 1 more to choose a creature you control. It gains indestructible until end of turn. And 3 double white more to destroy all creatures.
This one's weird because there's kind of a big debate going on at the moment of can I or can't I use these spree cards under a Isochron Scepter. Because it says one, then you choose. Normally, you can't choose an additional cost. You can't pay additional cost, but this kind of says you have to. But this is what I'm seeing here now is the weird thing, and it's white plus.
Yeah.
In the top. I've never seen them print that before. So with that plus symbol there, I don't know if that will let you do it, because like that's clearly marked as a mana cost.
I honestly did not even notice the plus in the top there.
Yeah, right. I thought it was like a weird thing on my screen when I was looking at it. That's the nice thing about doing these spoilers is we do look at them up close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
Isochron Scepter aside, the ability to take away all abilities of creatures is wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Hose a lab maniac or something. Hose a Toxtril.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's this one I think is good. White got a lot of really good cards in this set. We have Garolf, the Flesh Rite, 2 and a blue, human warlock 2/3. Whenever you cast a spell during your turn other than the first spell this turn, you create a 2/2 black zombie rogue. Whenever a zombie enters under your control, put a 1/1 counter on it for each other zombie that entered the battlefield under control this turn. I think this is again too many hoops to jump through. Only during your turn, only every 2 spells, you know, like it just, they're really making you work for this one. This seems more of like a bulk rare kind of card instead of a mythic, right? Like,
yeah.
you can storm off. So like, I at least get that, but you can still only do it on your turn.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like a lot to get through to. 2 spells to get a 2/2 is like worse than Talrand, which is a dollar rare, right? And Talrand gets you it whenever you cast.
Don't you ever accuse Talrand of being a dollar rare?
Yeah, Talrand wishes it was a dollar rare. You'll get there, Talrand.
I have already built a deck, an illegal pairing deck, with this commander and another card coming up.
With Geralf or the new one?
With Geralf.
Oh, I know what one you're talking about. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I like that one.
We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
Moving on, we've got Gyrid, Mirror of the Wilds. Cost Naya. For a 3/3 legendary human shaman with haste. Non-token creatures you control have tapped to create a token that's a copy of target token you controlled that entered the battlefield this turn.
Again, I want to know how this one's going to work.
Yeah. I feel like, in theory, this one could be absolutely ridiculous. Like, but at the same time, we're going to have to see.
Yeah, like your non-token creatures get tap, and make a token. Again, it's hoops to jump through. It's a lot of hoops in this set.
Yeah. I feel like this is mostly going to be used for like
a Dockside combo, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, just being able to create a ridiculous amount of treasures.
Something. I want it to be fun. I wanted original gear to be fun. I tried to make that deck 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
You can take the next one, too.
Sure. This is the one that I paired with, Geralf. This is Geese of the Hellraiser. 3 double black for a legendary human warlock, 4/4, with ward 2 and pay 2 life. Skeletons and zombies you control get +1/+1 and have menace. Whenever you commit a crime, create 2 tapped 2/2 blue and black zombie rogue creature tokens. This ability triggers only once each turn.
That seems fun. And just send Geralf together makes sense, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's really silly they did not have partner with.
Yeah, I think, again, it's very cool. The crime mechanic is pretty strong, but, again, you want to storm off, right? So.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it. I really like both of the artworks on it, too. She looks unhinged in the alternate.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, she is grave digging all the time, so she is crazy.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. We have our Gold Vein Hydra. It's X and a green for a 0/0 Hydra with Vigilance, Trample, Haste, which is pretty good. It enters with X11 counters on it. When it dies, you create a number of tap treasure tokens equal to its power. Pretty decent. It's going to just like run wild, and if you can't deal with it, then, you know?
Yeah. Then we've got Jace Reawakened. 2 blue for a 3 loyalty legendary planeswalker Jace. You cannot cast a spell during the first, second, or third turns of the game. +1 to draw a card and discard a card. +1 to... You may exile a non-land card with mana value 3 or less from your hand. If you do, it becomes plotted. And -6 until end of turn. Whenever you cast a spell, copy it, and you may choose new targets for the copy.
That -6 is pretty absurd.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the...
What is... Plotting is the one where you...
You exile it and you cast it for free on another turn.
Oh, okay, so it's a different version of Foretell.
Yeah, but it's for free, yeah.
Yeah.
This Jace Ashiok thing as well is pretty crazy. I think that's what it is supposed to be.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
It definitely feel like something's up there.
Yeah, right? Next we have Kellen the Kid. 1 green, 1 white, 1 blue for a 3/3 human fairy rogue with flying and lifelink. Whenever you cast a spell from anywhere other than your hand, you may cast a permanent with equal or less mana value from your hand without paying its mana cost. If you don't, you may put a land from your hand onto the battlefield. Again, I think that that's got like a lot of potential. It's in the colors for adventure, obviously.
Yeah.
Right, like I think this is like an adventure commander.
Yeah, definitely.
It doesn't have that red impulse like Exile from the top stuff that would make this commander really good.
Yeah.
Again, this one, I didn't find a lot that I super liked in this set, sadly.
Like, yeah, that's for building, very fair.
Yeah.
I do like that Kellen has the energy sword from Halo.
I do like that. That's pretty cool. And not a copyright at all.
Yeah, not at all. Next one we've got here is Oko the Ringleader. 2 green and a blue for a 3 loyalty planeswalker Oko. At the beginning of combat on your turn, Oko becomes a copy of up to 1 target creature you control until end of turn, except he has hexproof. Plus 1 to draw 2 cards. If you've committed a crime this turn, discard a card. Otherwise, discard 2 cards. Minus 1, create a 3/3 green elk creature token. And minus 5, for each other non-land permanent you control, create a token that's a copy of that permanent.
Again, a pretty... dying over here. A pretty absurd minus on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, especially because if you have a doubling season out, which a deck running this is gonna... like a planeswalker style deck, you alt this on the first one.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot. They put a lot of the power into these planeswalker alts for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I still honestly prefer the original Oko.
Original Oko's so mean. It's so cruel.
That's why I prefer him.
Yeah, it's true. It's a good card. We have the Railway Brawler. 3 double green. It's a Rhino Warrior with Reach Trample. 5/5. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, put X-1/1 counters on it where X is its power. That's very, very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Like that ETB across all of your creatures is nuts. Just double power. Again, it's going to go in all of your decks that have doubling season on it. So it's going to double then double. Like you play a 10 mana Hydra. You pay 10 into X for a Hydra to get 10 counters. It's getting 20. Then it enters with 20, so it's getting another 40. It's a 60-60 for 10 mana. It gets a little out of control, right?
Yeah.
I think that one's definitely worthy of being a mythic. And then it does have plot official. So 3 and a green, you may pay 3 and a green and exile it from your hand. Cast it as a sorcery on a later turn without paying its mana cost. Plot only as a sorcery.
Yeah.
Pretty easy to like turn 2 in a commander game with a Sol Ring, you know?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, and then you turn 3 it and no mana cost it, or just keep it out of your hand. It's I like the plot mechanic. I think it's cool.
Mm-hmm. Then we've got Rakdos the Muscle. 2 black red for a 6/5 legendary demon mercenary flying. Excuse me, and trample. Whenever you exile another creature, or whenever you sacrifice another creature, exile cards equal to its mana value from the top of target player's library. Until your next end step, you may play those cards, and mana of any type, I can't speak today, can be spent to cast those spells. Sacrifice another creature, Rakdos the Muscle gains indestructible until end of turn. Tap it and activate only once each turn.
I'm just looking up a card over here.
Yeah.
It says that there's a Selvala Eager Trailblazer, but I don't see an art for it. Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, well, you read it for me. I don't see what it is.
Sure. Selvala Eager Trailblazer. 2 green and white for a 4/5 legendary elf scout with vigilance. Whenever you cast a creature spell, create a 1/1 red mercenary creature token with tap to have target creature you control. Get +1/+0 until end of turn. Activate only as a sorcery. And you can tap to choose a color, add 1 mana of that color for each different power among creatures you control.
That's pretty cool. I like anything Selvala related, obviously.
Yeah.
There we go. We found it. There's the artwork. Whenever you cast a creature, you make... I don't like this mercenary mechanic, though.
Yeah, it seems to be kind of popping up a lot.
Well, too much, right?
And it does seem like... green and white are not really the colors we've seen for the outlaw stuff so far.
Yeah, why are they getting so many?
Yeah, like red, white, and black make sense.
Yeah,
but green and white.
Did we do Rakdos, by the way?
Yes.
Okay, All right. We've got a Terror of the Peaks reprint. We have a new Gitrog, the Ravenous Ride. 3-1 black, 1 green for a 6-5 frog horror mount. With Trample Haste, whenever it deals combat damage to a player, you may sack a creature that's saddled at this turn. If you do, draw X cards, then put up to X lands from your hand onto the battlefield tapped, where X is the sacked creature's power. And we have Saddle 1. I'm pretty sure Saddle is just pseudo, what's it called? Is it not just pseudo crew?
I think so, but let's just see real quick here.
I do like the silly Gitrog art. I'm a fan of anything Gitrog related.
Yeah, fair.
Gitrog or Gitrog adjacent.
Saddle was designed the common practice of some activated ability. Okay, that's not helping.
We'll see it on a card later.
Yeah.
I'll take the Tiny Bones too, because I love a good Tiny Bones.
Yeah.
We have Tiny Bones the Pickpocket, 1 black for a skeleton rogue, 1/1 with Death Touch, which is pretty good stats on a commander, right? That's a good aggro attacker and blocker early.
Mm-hmm.
I love the art on both. When Tiny Bones deals combat damage to a player, you may cast target non-land permanent card from that player's graveyard, and mana of any type can be spent to cast it. I think that's pretty fun.
Yeah, I think that could be pretty fun.
You want it to be unblockable kind of thing, but...
Yeah, but I mean, that's not too difficult to do.
Again, worst case, it's only a one mana commander, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like with... Oh, what's he called? The Goblin. The zero-cost Goblin.
Yeah, exactly. The fact that you can keep casting their spells makes you want them to discard their spells, which is not good for people. Turgrid version 2, our spells?
Ooh.
Yeah, right?
Next up, we've got Vraska the Silencer. 1 black green for a 3/3 legendary Gorgon Assassin with Death Touch. Whenever a non-token creature an opponent controls dies, you may pay 1. If you do, return it to the battlefield tapped under your control. It's a treasure artifact with tap and sacrifice this artifact, add 1 mana of any color, and loses all other card types. You are melting them down into coins.
That's kind of fun. Yeah. So they still have their abilities, they just lose the card types. Whenever non-token creature an opponent controls dies, you may pay 1 if you do return it. So yeah, you can just blow their creatures up and be like, I have a Seedborn treasure. That's pretty funny.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't lose its abilities, just its other card types.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's actually one I would build. That's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty obnoxious, to be honest.
Yep.
Like, that's really, really obnoxious to just, I'm just going to Assassin's Trophy whatever I feel. Yeah, that's a brutal one. Also, I don't like from the storytelling aspect that, like, Jace and Vraska were basically, like, Phyrexianized, and then, like, Vraska stabs Jace, Jace becomes Phyrexian, and now they're just here. Jace is, like, half crazy with Ashiok, Vraska's just normal.
Yeah.
Like, Vraska doesn't really show any signs of Phyrexiaizing. Is that a word? I don't think it is.
It is now.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like lazy storytelling. It seems like there was no consequences to the last arc. Like, in War of the Spark, we lost Gideon. I could go on for days.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely seemed like the stakes were a lot higher in the... Was it the War of the Spark stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it spanned more than a few sets.
Yeah, it'll be a while till I get to, like, you know what? Good spot for me to plug the other one. Go check out my other podcast, Lorebound Legends, where we talk about this stuff. I'm gonna have both Lothia and Sherman on for episodes soon too, but it's fun. We'll get to this part in the story eventually. We're at the terrible part of Magic that doesn't make any sense. It's nonsense. Check it out. And also, go check out our Patreon. Great spot for ads. We gotta film some commercials for these, bro. We have some fun things coming, guys. It'll be a good time.
Yeah.
Now back to the show. We also have this Akul the Unrepentant. 2 double black so 2 black, 2 red. I'm having a stroke. 5/5 Scorpion Dragon Rogue. That's a pretty cool creature type. Flying Trample, sack three other creatures. You may put a creature from your hand onto the battlefield, activate only as a sorcery and only once each turn. That's pretty good.
I guess you could say that's pretty cool.
That is a pretty cool. I like that one. I respect that. That's pretty crazy to be able to. Again, you can just dump down Ulamogs for little low cost like kobolds and stuff, you know?
Yeah, little 1/1 tokens.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not non-token creatures either. So any token style creature, that I could see that one being a very strong, and it's only 4 mana. That's not hard to hit.
No. I feel like this one's going to go pretty well into Caesar.
Yeah. Also pretty crazy to Caesar's mean. Pretty crazy to just give it like the dragon type with how many good like dragon decks there are.
Yeah, true.
There's a lot of like this being a dragon commander would be very scary because it's still a 5/5 flyer for 4, right?
Yeah.
So I like that. We have Annie joins up with I just arc that I don't enjoy. I don't know why. I just think it's weird. Why is her hat not on her head? I don't get it.
She's joining up with the hat. It hasn't quite got there yet.
Maybe, yeah. The hat's taking her. 1/1 red, 1 green, 1 white for a, which is, I'm pretty sure, out of order. How's the order supposed to be?
I guess.
Am I crazy or is that out of order in Wooburg?
In Wooburg, it would be white first, but I think a lot of the Naya ones that we've seen have had the red first.
Yeah, just out of order. Just bugs me. When it enters, it deals 5 damage to target creature or planeswalker and opponent control, so a little bit of a bolt. If a triggered ability of a legendary creature you control triggers, that ability triggers an additional time, making this card phenomenal.
Yeah, that's really solid.
Yeah, that's very, very good. There's a lot of commanders that really, really care about that. It's a bit of a bummer that that's stuck in between those three colors or not banned. Again, that Annie card should have been banned so you can unsummon it and bring it back and play it that way.
Yeah, exactly.
The Naya is so weird because all of the things I want to trigger all the time, like my ETB commanders, they're all Naya, or they're all banned.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there's some good uses for this.
Yeah, true.
Ooh, I want to take this one too. This might be the best ETB card ever printed. Another round. XX2 white. It's a sorcery. I wish it was an instant, but I understand why it's not. You exile any number of creatures you control, so no target, then return them to the battlefield under their owner's control. There's still another line of text we'll get to, but the fact that this is just at its worst, you don't have to pay those X, right? It doesn't say that for the X, you can just not pay. So for 3 mana, you have a selective full field ETB blink. That's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But then you repeat this process X more times. So for 5, you get a full field blink twice, 7, 3, 9, 4. It really, really goes up, right? And at every point of the game, this is going to be really, really strong. Like for ETB decks for late game and stuff, having a Solitude enter, like, you know what I mean? If I've got like 9 extra mana or 9 mana to spend, and I can have Solitude enter 4 times, well, that's game over for whoever I'm targeting, right?
Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean? If I can Terastodon 4 times in a blink deck and stuff like that, like I've destroyed 12 lands or something crazy like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's again another round. It scales as late as the game goes. It just gets better and better and better. And in any deck, like Elish Norn decks are going to run it, Rune decks are going to run it. Anything ETB themed, it's very, very good. It might be my favorite card of the set. It might be my favorite card of the year, to be honest.
Fair.
There's probably 18 more sets, so we'll see.
I was just about to say.
Yeah, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Next up, we've got Archmage's Newt. 1 and a blue for a 2/2 Salamander Mount. Whenever Archmage's Newt deals combat damage to a player, target instant or sorcery card in your graveyard gains flashback until end of turn. The flashback cost is equal to its mana cost. That card gains flashback 0 until end of turn instead if Archmage's Newt is saddled.
That's pretty cool.
And it has saddle for 3. Yeah. I do want to take this next one as well.
Yeah, please.
Then we've got the Aven Interrupter, 1W for 2/2 Bird Rogue with Flash and Flying. When it enters the battlefield, exile target spell, it becomes plotted. And spells your opponents cast from graveyards or from exile cost 2 more to cast.
New Hate Bird just dropped. Hate Bear, Hate Bird, it's all the same. I really like this card.
Yeah.
Every part of it. Artwork, ability, flash. It's great. This is a really good card.
Yeah.
And it's an enter, it's not a cast. I like that a lot. That's a great flicker.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a really, really good one. I see why you wanted it. We have some new check lands. Blossoming Marsh enters tapped unless you control two or fewer other lands and taps for Golgari. I'll also take this.
These are not new lands.
These aren't new lands. These are old ones. Reprints?
Kaladesh.
Oh, okay. Reprints. Then they're reprint check lands. With new art, I assume.
Yeah.
All right.
I like the alt art on the Blooming Marsh.
Yeah, the train looking thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very cool. We have Bonnie Pal Clearcutter, which I think is fun. 3/1 green, double blue, 6/5 giant scout with reach. Love it. When Bonnie Pal Clearcutter enters the battlefield, create Bo, a legendary blue ox with this power's creature and toughness are equal to the number of lands you control. Whenever you attack, draw a card, then you may put a land from your hand or graveyard onto the battlefield. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
The ability to recur my important lands or like my fetches is pretty great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I really like the draw on my commander.
Mm-hmm.
I really wish that, again, I had the Annie joins up card where I could trigger twice, but we'll
just skip over that part.
But I think that's a fun one, and I like this giant blue cow ox.
Yeah. Close enough.
Oh, okay. Now I definitely see it with the Botanical Sanctum. These are definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
I just not play Golgari enough?
That's possible. Next one we've got here is Breaches the Blast Maker. 1BR for a 3/3 legendary Goblin Pirate with Menace. Whenever you cast your second spell each turn, you may sacrifice an artifact. If you do, flip a coin. When you win the flip, copy that spell, and you may choose new targets for the copy. When you lose the flip, Breaches deals that much damage to any target.
I like this. This is like a new Krark-style commander.
Yeah.
That's actually really fun. Second spell each turn, sure. Whatever, mm-hmm. right? But again, like even being able to copy low-cost things like a Brainstorm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm happy with that. I want to cut,
Yeah, absolutely.
And in a worst case scenario, if I don't get my copy, I just get another bolt. I like it.
Yeah. No, I feel like this deck could be built fairly mean as well.
Yeah.
With a bunch of cheap unsummon and stuff like that on your opponent's turn.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't say for what you paid, right? So you can just do it for like the fact that I can get like something like an Aminatu's Augury off or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then potentially get two of them or like a huge like 12 damage blast.
Yeah.
Is pretty cool. I like this a lot, actually. Breaches looks like it's really, really fun.
Mm-hmm.
We have Bruce Tarl, which is basically just the artwork from League of Legends. 2, a red, a white for a 4/3 human warrior. It's Braum. Other oxen creatures you control have double strike. Whenever Bruce enters or attacks, exile the top card of your library. If it's a land, create a 2/2 white ox. Otherwise, you may cast it until the end of your next turn. I mean, it's okay.
Yeah. That's all right.
Yeah, it's decent, I guess. It's normal Boros.
Yeah. Then we've got Calamity, Galloping Inferno. 4RR for a 4/6 legendary horse mount with haste. Whenever Calamity, Galloping Inferno attacks while saddled, choose a non-legendary creature that's saddled at this turn and create a tapped and attacking token that's a copy of it. Sacrifice at the beginning of the next end step and repeat this process once.
That's really good.
Yeah, that's really solid.
That's really, really good. You just saddle this with like a Solemn, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Get your lands, get your draws twice. That's very, very good.
Yeah, definitely. I think I might build this one.
Yeah, that's like a really, really playable commander. Again, dockside. You just dockside.
Mm-hmm. Dockside, get a bunch of treasures.
What doesn't dockside go with, though, at this point, though, right?
Yeah.
Dockside's pretty good. But yeah, this is, again, this is very, very cool. Choose a non-legendary creature that's saddled this turn and create it. Yeah, that's wicked. And then you don't risk those creatures. You just risk your commander, but like, okay, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, whatever.
That's one of the first commander options I've liked so far. This, like, Breaches in Vraska.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, we have Caustic Bruno next. One in a black for a snake horse mount, which is pretty crazy artwork. I like whatever unhinged nightmare dreams this artist is having. It's 2/2. Whenever Caustic Bronco attacks, reveal the top card of your library and put it into your hand. You lose life equal to its mana value if it isn't saddled. Otherwise, each opponent loses that much life. And it has saddle 3. I like every part of this. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Tap any number of other creatures you control with total power 3 or more. Mount becomes saddled until... Okay, so it's basically just crew, but it can attack otherwise.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it can only be done as a sorcery. You can only saddle as a sorcery.
Oh, yes.
Okay. The next card is cracked. You take it, obviously, but it's insane. It's one of the better white cards. Again, they keep giving too much. White doesn't need all this help it's getting. I know that not everyone likes when I say that and stuff, but it's just... White is like the color of land destruction, remove everything, and insane angels in Avacyn. Stop giving it ramp.
Stop. Nah, white needs all the help they can
get. Stop letting me ramp everything with white. Like, it's crazy. The, what's it called? I took my, what's the angel commander? The ramp angel commander?
Giada.
I took Giada apart because Giada wasn't fun to play against. You stop giving me ways to ramp my commander out. You don't want me to ramp angels out. What are we talking about? My strongest casual deck, for anyone who's ever seen it play, is Selvala with angels. That deck is nuts. It's just like the Selvala Explorer Returned,
mm-hmm,
with the like the tap, the parlay. That it's crazy. It's crazy how fast I get Avacyns and stuff like that onto the field. Stop doing it. It's not reasonable. But please, please read what this cracked card does.
So we got Claim Jumper, 2 and a white for a 3/3 rabbit mercenary with vigilance. When it enters the battlefield, if an opponent controls more lands than you, you may search your library for a plains card and put it on the battlefield tapped. Then, if an opponent controls more lands than you, repeat this process once. If you search your library this way, shuffle.
Why? Why are they doing this?
I mean, if you're going last in turn order, this is very easy way to get a couple lands.
I'm going to point out something. It doesn't say basic planes.
That is true.
It says any planes, and you do it twice. This is like a double duels fetch in a lot of decks.
Yep.
That's insane.
Duels, triomes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really good, and it's very cool artwork. Mm-hmm. I like the rabbit artwork. But yeah, it's one of the best, and it's an ETB. Again, it's an insane ability. We all have a green player in our group who's doing nonsense that's going to let us like do this again. You don't need to give me this.
I do feel like this art should have been on a legendary though.
Oh, I love it. I'm still, like I said, the Bloomborough stuff. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It's Yeah, I don't know. That one seems like too much. Again, it's another chase white card for sure. Like that card is going to be sold out indefinitely.
Oh, 100%.
We have Colossal Rattleworm, 2 double green for 6/5 worm with flash as long as you control a desert with trample. Again, just the power creep of stuff is crazy. At its worst, it's still a 6/5 trampler for 4 mana. That's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
No other text needed. That's very, very strong stats. Like, that is pushing the stats in the game for sure. One of the green, exile it from your graveyard, search your library for a desert, put it on the battlefield, tap, then shuffle. Again, the deserts aren't as played and stuff like that, but still, regardless, like, that's a very, very powerful card, especially in not commander formats.
Yeah.
And it is very powerful to be able to flash out something like that. That's nuts.
Oh, absolutely.
We have a concealed courtyard reprint.
Yeah, this one. Then we've got Duelist of the Mind. One in a blue for a star 3 human advisor. Flying in Vigilance. Duelist of the Mind's power is equal to the number of cards you've drawn this turn. And whenever you commit a crime, you may draw a card. If you do, discard a card. This ability triggers only once each turn.
Meh.
Meh.
I think it's a little weak.
Yeah. Take away the last line of text and it's just fine.
Yeah, the only once, exactly. We have our Dust Animus, which I think is really cool artwork. One and a white for a 2/3 spirit with flying. Control 5 or more untapped lands. It enters with 2/1/1 counters and a lifelink counter on it, which is pretty good. And you can plot it also for 2. So you can pretty easily on a turn 3 have a 4/5 flying lifelinker. That's strong.
Yeah, I don't think I mind that.
Yeah, that's pretty strong. I guess you need your 5 untapped lands, so maybe not turn 3, but still strong late.
Yeah. Then we've got Ariette the Beguiler. 1 and Esper for a 4/4 legendary human warlock with lifelink. Whenever an aura you control becomes attached to a non-land permanent an opponent controls with mana value less than or equal to that aura's mana value, gain control of that permanent for as long as that aura is attached to it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it's got the blue. I like that Ariette a lot. I think Sherman's already built one of those.
I think he has, yeah.
Yeah, I think that actually might be next week's episode. It's the new Ariette. Mm-hmm. That's a really, really strong, really, really strong card.
Yeah, definitely.
We have Fibblethip, Lost on the Range. I love everything Fibblethip, even if it's not good. 1 double blue for a 1/1 homunculus with Ward 2. You may look at the top card of your library anytime. Awesome. The top card of your library has plot. The plot cost is equal to its mana cost, which is awesome. And you may plot non-land cards from the top of your library. I'm a fan.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. It doesn't say plot them as a sorcery.
Mm-hmm.
Or is plot only as a sorcery? Plot only as a sorcery. Plot okay.
is only as a sorcery.
So it doesn't need to say it. Still, I like Fibblethip. Fibblethip's yeah. wild. I like the big dragon fight in the background there.
Yeah, Fibblethip doesn't care. He's just trying to get home.
I haven't looked at any of these like beast mount things.
Yeah. Do you want to take this next one?
Sure. It's Fortune, Loyal Steed. 2 and a white for a legendary creature beast mount 2/4 when it enters scry 2. Decent. Whenever it attacks at the end of combat, exile it and up to 1 target creature that's saddled this turn, then return them to the battlefield under their owner's control. This is a very, very playable, just mono white commander. This is very, very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the, especially saddle for 1 and stuff like, and the scry 2 on enter, that's, I think I might build Fortune.
Fair. We'll just have a saddle mount game.
That'd be fun. Saddle up.
Mm.
I'm even writing it down. Fortune, Loyal Steed.
Then the next one we've got here is Free Strider Lookout. 2 and a green for a 3/3 human rogue with reach. Whenever you commit a crime, look at the top 5 cards of your library. You may put a land card from among them onto the battlefield tapped. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. This ability triggers only once each turn.
I hate all this once each turn.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It just...
Yeah.
We have our next Spree card, which again has that plus in the corner, which I'm interested in how they interpret that rule. 1 red, it has Spree... more costs, so you can play +2 in a red, untap all creatures you control. If it's your combat phase, there's an additional combat phase. +2 colorless, creatures you control get 1/0 and gain first strike. And a red, choose target opponent. Whenever a creature you control deals damage to that player this turn, create a tap treasure token. Decent.
I feel like the ordering of the last two abilities is kind of weird.
Yeah. Very odd.
Then we've got Hellspur Posse Boss. 2 double red for a 2/4 lizard rogue. Other outlaws you control have haste. When Hellspur Posse Boss enters the battlefield, create 2 1/1 red mercenary creature tokens with tap to have target creature you control get +1/+0 until end of turn, activate only as a sorcery.
fun little trivia fact I learned on the last episode I did with my lore one. They basically have changed the Viashino creature type to just lizard.
Yeah.
And like errated it all to lizard. Like this was basically this was gonna be like the last set that could have had them in it. So now there's no more Viashino.
Okay.
Yeah. But this should obviously be a Viashino. Viashino rogue. Come on. Bring my boys back. Pretty good.
Interesting.
Yeah, Viashino were also created for Magic by someone who wrote like one of the third or fourth books. Not a good book. Spoiler. Pretty bad. Pretty terrible storyline, but pretty cool. But pretty cool creature type. Hell to Pay is Exeter Red. Deals X damage to target creature. You create a number of tapped treasure tokens equal to the amount of excess damage this way. I like that.
Yeah.
Ramp removal. That's a really good card to be able to copy if you're storming off as well. Mm-hmm. You know, clear five or six creatures off, make like eight or nine treasures.
Yeah, true. Then we've got High Noon, one and a white for an enchantment. Each player can't cast more than one spell each turn. And you can pay four and a red to sacrifice High Noon to deal five damage to any target.
Pretty decent stacks card.
I feel like it should be six damage, but that's just a flavor thing.
Yeah, you know, six shots.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, though.
Yeah, I like that.
We have Insatiable Avarice, so it's a black spree card. So black plus, choose any additional. Plus two, search library for a card, then shuffle and put it on top. Awesome. And then plus two black, target player draws three cards and loses three life. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I really like this one.
That's a very, very good. What's that? That's five total to search and draw three, lose three. That's a very, very good tutor.
Absolutely.
I could see that fetching a pretty decent price.
Right now, it is pre-ordering for just under $5.
Decent. It's again, like I said, a three mana search library, then shuffle and put it on top is pretty decent.
Yeah, absolutely.
But again, just also a three mana target player draws three cards, loses three life. You can make friends with it. You can kill someone with it, technically. I like this card.
Yeah.
Inspired Vantage reprint. I really like that it's all this like rolling train thing.
Yeah. I wonder if you're supposed to kind of put them all together.
If it like panoramas or something?
Yeah. But next up, we've got Karavek the Punisher. One double black for a 3/3 legendary human warlock. Whenever you commit a crime, exile up to one target black card from your graveyard and copy it. You may cast the copy. If you do, you lose two life.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I really like a lot of the wanted poster arts.
Yeah, the wanted posters are really, really cool. I like this next one a lot, too. It's very cool. Cambal, Profiteering Mayor. One white, one black for a 2/4 human advisor. Whenever one or more tokens enters the battlefield under your opponent's control, for each of them, create a tap token that's a copy of it, triggers only once each turn. For Smothering Tide stuff, that's so good.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Whenever one or more tokens enter the battlefield under your control, each opponent loses a life and you gain one life. It's a phenomenal card, top to bottom.
Yeah.
The artwork's very weird. I like it. I like his like stormtrooper, so, like soldiers.
Yep.
Yeah, it's this is really, really cool. I like this one. This is one I can also see being played a lot.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, it'd be really fun to make a like almost like a Brina, the demagogue one, where you're trying to do things for it, where you're trying to give your opponents treasure tokens and stuff like that. Like yeah, I think that'd be a fun deck to do.
Group hug.
Yeah, group hug adjacent. I may build Cambal group hug.
Oh no.
Yeah, the Orzhov hug. You'll love to see
Orzhov hug. Yeah.
Yeah, to be honest, that's probably coming up. That's coming up in as an episode. You'll see.
Then we've got Helen Joins Up. It is green, white, blue for a legendary enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, you may exile a non-land card with mana value 3 or less from your hand. If you do, it becomes plotted. And whenever a legendary creature enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. I feel like this one is a pretty big build around.
Yeah. In decks that care about that stuff, like maybe like a Jota Legends Matter deck, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems like a lot, like you said, to jump around. There's just so many other good Bant enchantments.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have Laughing Jasper Splint, the Viashino card that I learned that Viashino fact from. It's 1/1 black, 1 red for a 4/3 lizard rogue. Creatures you control but don't own are mercenaries in addition to their other types. Fun. At the beginning of your upkeep, exile top X cards of target opponent's library, where X is the number of outlaws you control. Until end of turn, you may cast spells from among them, and mana can be spent of any kind. That's fun.
Okay.
I like that. Your creatures become mercenaries. You enlist them. That's fun.
I dig it. Then we've got Lila, Undefeated Slickshot. 1 blue-red for a 3/3 legendary creature, human rogue with prowess. Whenever you cast a multicolored instant or sorcery spell from your hand, exile that spell instead of putting it into your graveyard as it resolves. If you do, it becomes plotted.
Again, I think it's good in theory.
I feel like this one's quite good in a lot of the... What is it? The new Niv-Mizzet.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Where
you've already got all the multicolored spells in your library.
Yeah, this seems like a card that's good for a big deck like that. Not as a commander, sadly.
Yeah.
Which is, again, a bummer. But I like it.
Yeah.
We have a new Magda, the Horde Master, which I like both of the artworks on a lot. 1 in a red for a Dwarf Berserker. 2/2. Whenever you commit a crime, create a tap treasure token, triggers only once each turn. Sack 3 treasures, create a 4/4 red scorpion dragon creature token with flying and haste. Activate only as a sorcery. Pretty decent.
Yeah.
A very good use for your treasures, especially in the kind of late game where you've got so many. Oh, what are you going to do with all that mana? I cast Magda and do it. Doesn't say only once a turn each for that one.
What are you going to do with all that mana? Move to combat and bonk you with it, of course. Yeah.
I summon dragons, all of the dragons, yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah.
I got to take the next one, too, because I love all the Malcolms.
Absolutely.
We have Malcolm the Eyes. 1 red, 1 blue for a 2/2 Siren Pirate. Flying Haste, whenever you cast your second spell, each turn, investigate. Which is pretty weak for a Malcolm, but I just like all of the Siren Rogue, the Siren Pirates. I like the pirate themes.
Yeah, fair.
So. But the investigate's a little weak.
Yeah.
Compared to how good some of the other Malcolms are, it's a little weak. But I do like both artworks.
Yeah.
A lot
of people, same thing with a lot of them. The wanted posters.
I really like the wanted poster, yeah. A lot of people complained about the next card. They're like, this doesn't look like or feel like the card. Take it away, please.
We've got Marchesa, Dealer of Death. Blue, black, red for a 3/4 legendary human rogue. Whenever you commit a crime, you may pay 1. If you do, look at the top 2 cards of your library, put 1 into your hand and the other into your graveyard.
Strong.
I mean, yeah, you're in reanimator colors.
Yeah, really, really strong. I like it.
Speaking of really, really strong.
The next one, I'm not even attempting to build because I don't think I can build it in a way that isn't fun. It seems like there's no way to build. I love original Obika, and I love the artwork of this Obika. But I can't think of a single fun way to build this without being annoying and be like, I descent into Avernus 13 times. Suck it, everyone.
I mean,
yeah. Yeah. So we have Obika, Splitter of Seconds, 1/1 blue, 1 black, 1 red for a 2/5 Ogre Warlock with Menace. Whenever Obika deals combat damage to a player, you get that many additional upkeep steps after this phase. You know what I mean? It's so easy to just start throwing on like the you're going to put in like your normal like swords to get this through your unblockable stuff. And then again, you're going to get, if you put like the Blackblade Reforged, you got five lands, you hit for seven. So you get seven upkeeps. You know how many annoying upkeep triggers there are in the game?
Oh, tons.
You know how many annoying each opponent discards a card during your upkeep triggers there are?
Yep.
Right? Like it's the, like Obika's just, it, like I said, I want it. It's fun. I understand it. I used to have fun myself, but but like this nonsense has got to stop. Yeah, like I said, I can't find a way to make this that isn't incredibly unfun.
That is fair.
Yeah, it's not for me. It's too good. I gotta cut that out.
I am just gonna build this one as a stupid little suspend deck.
I mean, that's fair. That's mean. Let me quickly. I've got it over on your screen while I just search something here.
Yeah.
Obika Splitter. Let me see what people are already throwing into it just on EDH Rec alone. Yeah. Of course we have an As Foretold, because why wouldn't we?
Oh yeah, makes sense.
We've got a Twilight Prophet at the beginning of your upkeep. If you have the City of Blessing, reveal the top card of your library, put it into your hand. Each opponent loses X life and you gain X life, where that's your mana cost. Again, right? Mm-hmm. We've got a Court of Ambition. Beginning of your upkeep, each opponent loses 3 life unless they discard a card. If you're the Monarch, they discard 2 or lose 6. Dragon Master Outcast, making you 5/5 dragons.
Yeah.
The Court of Vantresses, making you copies of things. Court of Ire, 7 damage to target player 7 times. Yeah.
I imagine Phyrexian Arena is somewhere on there.
Court of Lothwain, at the beginning of your upkeep, exile the top card of an opponent's library you may play at this turn. Mana of any time. Instead, if you're the Monarch, you can play it without playing this mana cost. So again, I exile 7 cards. We have a mechanized production. At the beginning of your upkeep, create a token that's a copy of Enchanted Artifact. Extravagant Replication, the beginning of your upkeep, create a token that's a copy of another target permanent. There's Phyrexian Arena right there. Descent into Avernus, just like I said. Suspend cards. We've got Joyra, Court of Cunning, where you're going to mill them 10 cards each opponent. We've got Braids. Might as well Braids 7 times. Shouldred. Even if you hit things with let me go back over to our screen here. Even if you hit things with like two, getting 2 extra Shouldered upkeeps is crazy. I get it.
Yeah.
You know, the Herald of Leshrac, where you keep taking their lands. These aren't fun.
Yeah,
these are pretty brutal cards, like the Spark Double. What kind of animals? You know what I mean? Like this is just going through what's already in the Obika decks are again, it's all of the refrain, like all of the Rousing Refrain cards, all of the suspend ones. Again, Darksteel Reactor, beginning of your upkeep, you can put a charge counter on it, so you get 7 of them. Beginning of your upkeep, you get creatures back. Beginning of your upkeep, you get clue tokens with the Tameos. Beginning of your upkeep, you gain a life. This is a mean deck. Beginning of your upkeep, each opponent may create a treasure token. You get them. No one's taking that one. That's a wasted spot.
Yeah.
An Ivory Tower, even looking at this list, scrolling through this, I don't know if you can see this list. I'm scrolling through it all.
Oh, I'm.
You're scrolling similar.
I wasn't watching.
Okay. Again, with the shrines, like all the damage, all the discard, Revel in Riches, Wild Evocation. Yeah, this is again. There's no chance that I'm building something like this one. I can't in good conscience be a part of that. I like my friends. You know, that's funny. Let's go on to the next one here.
Yeah. Next one we've got here is at One Last Job. 2 and a white for a sorcery with Spree. +2, return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. +1, return target mount or vehicle card from your graveyard to the battlefield. +1, return target aura or equipment from your graveyard to the battlefield attached to a creature you control.
That bottom one's pretty good.
Yeah.
To be honest, very decent for all of it.
Yeah.
We have an Ornery Tumblewag. two and green for 2/2 Brushwag mount.
Beginning, Brushwag.
At the beginning of combat on your turn, put a 1/1 counter on target creature. When it attacks, we'll saddle double the number of 1/1 counters on target creature and saddle 2. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Then we've got Outcaster Trailblazer. 2 and a green for a 4/2 human druid. When it enters the battlefield, add 1 mana of any color. So whenever another creature with power 4 or greater enters the battlefield under your control, draw a card, and it has plot for 2 and a green.
I don't know why
you're getting refunded.
I was going to say, I guess if you plot it, then you start the turn with an extra mana.
Mm-hmm.
Still, pretty good card.
Yeah.
Again, that draw ability is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That's possibly one of the nicest artworks I've seen. The next card.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
Pillage the Bog is very, very cool. It's Golgari, 1 black, 1 green. Look at the top X cards, a sorcery. Look at the top X cards of your library where X is twice the number of lands you control. 1 into your hand and the rest on the bottom in a random order. And it has plot for 1, a green, and a black. Very cool. That's really, really cool. I would love a playmat of that one, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I have too many playmats. Too many playmats in general, but yeah, that's really cool.
Then we've got Pitiless Carnage. 3 and a black for a sorcery. Sacrifice any number of permanents you control. Draw that many cards. Plot for 1 double black.
That's brutal. That's gonna be used in a like switch control of creatures deck.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like just change owners and I just throw all your creatures out and draw them in. Yeah, that's brutal.
I've decided to confuse my opponents by sacrificing all of my lands and nothing else.
And passing the turn. I sacrifice 10 lands, draw 10 cards, pass.
Discard the hand size.
Seven. Yeah, discard to 7. That's funny. We have Rakdos joins up. 3/1 black, 1 red. When it enters, return target creature from your graveyard to the battlefield with 2 additional 1/1s. Whenever legendary creature control dies, deals damage equal to that creature's power to target opponent. Again, a build around.
Yeah.
A 5 mana legendary reanimates is pretty steep.
I feel like you kind of want to do like a flavor deck with something like Jota and just have all the joins up cards.
Yeah. Again, very, very useful there.
Then we've got Riku of Many Paths. Cost teamer, so green, blue, red, for a 3/3 legendary human wizard. Whenever you cast a modal spell, choose up to X, where X is the number of times you've chose a mode of that spell. Exile the top card of your library until the end of your next turn. You may play it. Put a +1/+1 counter on Riku against trample until end of turn, or create a 1/1 blue bird creature token with flying.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very cool. Makes all the confluences really fun.
Yeah.
Right. We have our Roxanne. We did a deck on that one. 3/1 green, 1 red for a 4/3 cat druid. When it enters or attacks, you create your meteorites that are 2 damage to any target and tap for 1 mana of any color. They're tapped when they enter. Whenever you tap an artifact token for mana, add 1 mana of the type that artifact token produced. Wild.
Rocks. Then we've got the Rush of Dread. 1 double black for sorcery with spree. +1, target opponent sacrifices half the creatures they control, rounded up. +2, target opponent discards half the cards in their hand, rounded up. Or +2, target opponent loses half their life, rounded up.
You know what? I actually like this card. That's pretty mean. That's 4, 6, 8. Yeah, 8 mana.
Target the same person every time.
Oh, that's mean. Losing half your creatures, discarding half your hand, and losing half your life is no joke. That's brutal. We have new Satoru. I really like that. Want a poster. That's very cool. Satoru the Infiltrator. 1 blue, 1 black for a 2/3 human ninja rogue. Menace. When Satoru and or one or more other non-token creatures enter the battlefield on your turn, if none were cast and no mana was spent, cast them, draw a card. That's cool.
Okay.
Cool blink card.
Mm-hmm. Then we've got Seraphic Steed. Green and a white for 2/2 unicorn mount. First strike and lifelink. Whenever it enters or attacks while saddled, create a 3/3 white angel creature token with flying, and it has saddle 4.
Decent.
Yeah.
Slick Shots Show Off Bird Wizard. 1 and a red for a 1/2 flying haste. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, 2/0 until end of turn, and it has plot. I could see that really, really being good in like a arena kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like that's it's a very, very strong card to do like a combat matters one.
Yeah, true.
2/0 on a flyer is brutal.
Then we've got Smuggler's Surprise. Single green for an instant with spree. +2, mill 4 cards. You may put up to two creatures and or land cards from among the milled cards into your hand. +4 in a green, you may put up to 2 target creature cards from your hand onto the battlefield. And +1, creatures you control with power 4 or greater gain hexproof and indestructible until end of turn.
Not horrible. It's a lot of utility.
Trojan Horse the card.
Yeah. That's, again, just keeping your big creatures safe is awesome. Mm-hmm. Able to dump new creatures in is also awesome. Yeah, I like that one. We have Step Between.
I was just going to say we got Spire Bluff Canal.
Okay, yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
And looking at these, I am almost convinced they're supposed to be a panorama.
It'd be fun if they were. I like this weird Sawblade steampunk train.
Mm-hmm.
We have our Step Between Worlds. 3 double blue. Each player may shuffle their hand and graveyard into their library. Each player who does draw 7 cards, exile it. I like a good wheel. And then you can plot it for 4 double blue. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a fan.
Yeah. Then we've got Stingerback Terror. 2 double red for a 7/7 scorpion dragon. We're going to get scorpion tribal real soon.
Yeah. Let's go.
Flying and Trample gets -1/-1 for each card in your hand, and it has plot for 2 and a red.
7/7/4/4 is pretty big. Or 7/7/4 mana is pretty big, potentially.
Yeah.
We've got a Stoic Sphinx. 2 double blue for 5/3 flash flying. Has hexproof as long as you haven't cast a spell this turn. Not horrible.
Yeah. Then we've got Pai Joaquin, Perfect Shot, red and white for 2/3 legendary human mercenary. Whenever a source you control deals non-combat damage to a creature equal to that creature's toughness, draw a card. And X and tap, if a source you control would deal non-combat damage to a permanent or player this turn, it deals that much damage plus X instead.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
We have the Key to the Vault, 1 and blue. Legendary artifact equipment. Whenever a equipped creature deals combat damage to a player, look at that many cards from the top of your library. You may exile non-land from among them, put the rest on the bottom. You may cast the exiled without paying its mana cost. That's decent.
Yeah.
I think there's also another set of cards. We're not going over that other set of cards today, but I think there's like another like set of like they were going to do like an Aftermath style set, and then no one liked it. So just pretend we went over those cards too.
Yeah. Then we've got 3 Steps Ahead. Blue for an instant with spree. +1 in a blue, counter target spell. +3, create a token that's a copy of target artifact or creature you control. +2, draw 2 cards and discard a card.
No reason to not upgrade every just counter spell or cancel that you run in a deck with this.
Yeah.
At its worst, it's still just a cancel, which is pretty good. The target artifact or creature you control copy at instant speed, nuts. And then the same with the draw two. It's another one that's good at every point of the game.
Yeah, it's just kind of strictly better.
Yeah, it's very, very good. We have Tiny Bones joins up, a black legendary enchantment. When Tiny Bones joins up, any number of target players each discard a card. Fun. Whenever a legendary creature enters under your control, any number of target players each mill a card and lose 1 life. So. I don't know. I'm pretty sure. I'm going back to your screen for a second here.
Sure.
Do-to-do. You take the next one whilst I read.
Sure. The next one we've got here is Vadmir Newblood, 1 and a black for a 2/2 legendary vampire rogue. Whenever you commit a crime, put a ++ encounter on Vadmir Newblood. This ability triggers only once each turn. And as long as Vadmir has 4 or more +1/+1 encounters on it, it has menace and lifelink.
I think it's pretty bad.
I don't know what it is, because I absolutely agree with you. It is not good.
Right.
But part of me still really wants to try it out.
That's fair. I respect that. I don't know. There's just, my problem is that it's a vampire, right? There's so many other good vampires mm-hmm. that do so much that this doesn't really compete, you know? And
yeah,
a deck that you'd put this into, a vampire deck, isn't really one that's like committing crimes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. We have Vraska joins up. A black and a green. When it enters, put a death touch counter on each creature you control, which is a crazy ability. That's nuts. Whenever a legendary creature you control deals combat damage to a player, draw a card. Every part of that's good. That's like an auto include into every Golgari deck.
Yeah, I feel like this is definitely the best of the joining up cards.
By a huge margin. Like, that's insane.
Mm-hmm. And our final rare here that we've got is Wily Duke, a teen hero. 1 green and a white for a 4/2 legendary human ranger with vigilance. Whenever Wily Duke, a teen hero, becomes tapped, you gain a life and draw a card.
Not bad.
Yeah. I'm kind of in the middle about that one.
What is this bonus set? I'm just trying to find this bonus set. Yeah, it seems all right. Seems okay. Maybe an untapped shenanigans, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Was there any? Go ahead.
The big score. Is the other.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Yeah, it has a bunch of reprints and then like Lotus Ring and Loot and the new sword.
Let me see if I can find it.
Grand Abolisher reprint's pretty cool.
Big score. Do you want to rip through some of these ones quick?
Sure.
Yeah, it doesn't look like there's too many. Maybe there is. We'll see. Let's go by rarity here.
Yeah. Rarity. I do believe they're all mythic.
Huh. All right. Search with these options. Let's see. Okay, well, let's get into just quickly a few of them. We have this Ancient Cornucopia, 2 and a green. Whenever you cast a spell that's 1 or more colors, you gain a life for each of the spell's colors, and you add a mana of any color. Good for a multicolor deck.
Mm-hmm. Bristlebud Farmer, 2 double blue for a 5/5 plant druid with trample. Enters the battlefield, create 2 food tokens. When it attacks, you may sack a food. If you do, mill 3 cards and put a permanent card from among them into your hand.
Decent. We have this Collector's Cage, 1 and a white. It's got Hideaway 5. It's an artifact. 1 tap, put a 1/1 counter on target creature you control. Then if you control 3 or more creatures with different powers, you can play the exiled card without paying its mana cost. Decent.
Esoteric Duplicator, 2 and a blue for...
The infinite combo. This is an infinite combo one, yeah.
It's an artifact clue. Whenever you sacrifice Esoteric Duplicator or another artifact, you may pay 2. If you do at the beginning of the next end step, create a token that's a copy of that artifact, and you can pay 2 to sacrifice it and draw a card.
That's very good. That's a very good card. There's no way around it.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Fomori Vault. Tap. It's a land. Taps for colorless or 3 and a tap. Discard a card. Look at the top X cards of your library, where X is the number of artifacts you control. Put 1 into your hand and the rest on the bottom in a random order. Pretty good to dig in an artifact deck.
Yeah. Generous Plunderer, 1 and a red for a 2/2 human rogue with menace. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may create a treasure token. When you do, target opponent creates a tapped treasure token. When it attacks, it deals damage to defending player equal to the number of artifacts they control. good for the Obika.
Yeah. Again, why does that middle artwork go so hard?
Right?
That's pretty good. Grand Abolisher reprint with really cool artwork in general. Both of them look awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We have Greed's Gambit, 3 and a black. When it enters the battlefield, you draw 3 cards, gain 6 life, and create 3 2-1 black bat creature tokens with flying. That seems like a pretty great enter. Beginning your end step, you discard a card, lose 2 life, and sack a creature. When it leaves the battlefield, you discard 3 cards, lose 6 life, and sack 3 creatures. Yeah, but again, still, the fact that it's acting as a sack outlet for you is pretty good.
Yeah, true.
Not horrendous.
Then we've got Harvester of Misery. 3 double black for a 5/4 spirit with menace. When it enters the battlefield, all other creatures get -2/-2 until end of turn. Then pay 1 and a black to discard it to have target creature get -2/-2 until end of turn.
Pretty good. I like it. I like that artwork a lot.
Yeah.
We have Hostile Investigator, 3 and a black. Ogre Rogue Detective. I like the artworks on this too. These are great arts, all of them. 4/3. When it enters, target opponent discards a card. Whenever one or more players discards, one or more cards investigate, triggers only once each turn.
Meh.
Yeah, it's all right.
We've got Legion Extruder. 1 and a red for an artifact. Enters the battlefield, deals 2 damage to any target. And you pay 2 and tap it to sacrifice another artifact. Create a 3/3 colorless golem artifact creature token.
Yeah, that's pretty decent use for treasures as well. I like this next card. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's Loot, the Key to Everything. It's Teemer, a 1/2 beast noble with ward 1. Beginning of your upkeep, exile the top X cards of your library, where X is the number of card types among non-land permanents you control. You may play those cards this turn. I think that that's a very cool deck to build.
Yeah.
I put that on the list of things I might build.
Then we've got Lost Jitte. Single mana for legendary artifact equipment. Whenever equipped creature deals combat damage, put a charge counter on Lost Jitte. You can remove a charge counter and choose 1. Untap target land. Target creature can't block this turn. Put a +1/+1 counter on equipped creature, and it has equipped for 1.
Very solid equipment. I think the next card sucks, and I don't understand in any way why. Right now it's selling. I think it's like pre-selling at like $25. So it's not good. Lotus Ring. It's 3 mana for an indestructible equipment. Equipped creature gets 3/3 and vigilance, and sack it to add 3 mana of any one color and equip 3. At best, you are just even with your mana. That's not good.
Yeah.
So many people are like, oh, well, it's like a sack outlet. And they're like, but it's not. Like, there's so many better sacrifice outlets, like that don't cost you 3 mana to get 3 mana. Like, I don't know, like, maybe, I guess, if you're trying to filter colorless mana into some... It seems like it's just not good. Maybe I'm wrong and I'm just missing something, but it just seems like a trash card.
I mean, I think it's one that's going to have to kind of be played around with.
I'm sure someone smarter than me will think of, like, a cool combo with it, but...
Yeah, just breaking even isn't really it.
Well, it just is, and... So again, let's look at this at its best. It's 3 mana to play, 3 mana mm-hmm. to equip. So we're already down 6 to get it going. But let's even say mm-hmm. that we didn't. We sack it. Any of our things that we're going to normally sack and get a loop of, like it comes back, like creatures that come back with like undying or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
The creature has tap and sack to add it. So the creature also has to have haste. So you have to have a creature that's not summoning sick that, and then like you've got to have, and you're only netting mana. Like, it just seems like if you want a sacrifice loop, there's so many better ways to get a sacrifice loop than this.
Yeah,
right.
Like, even just something simple like Ashnod's Altar,
right? Like, and then
Phyrexian Altar.
Yeah, where you don't need the, like, having haste, having a crew. It's a lot. And again, like, most sac outlets are just a mana ability, right? Like, it's just like a sacrifice to gain mana. You can't interact with that, so it's fine. This, I'm trying to equip, you just destroy my creature and I've wasted 3 mana. And even if you don't destroy my creature, I'm just getting that 3 mana back. It's bad. It's a bad card. It's a really bad card. There's nothing else to say about it. It's a terrible card. It's trash. Yeah, that's how I feel about that one.
Yeah,
Please take the next one.
Next one we've got here is Memory Vessel. 3 double red for an artifact. You can tap and exile it. Each player exiles the top 7 cards of their library until your next turn. Players may play cards exiled this way, and they can't play cards from their hand. Activate only as a sorcery.
Kind of fun. I like it. I don't like the only as a sorcery part, but...
Yeah.
Ooh, the next one is really good. Molten Duplication. 1 in red. You create a token that's a copy of target artifact or creature you control, except it's an artifact in addition to its other types. Gains haste until end of turn. Sack at the beginning of the next end step. A 2 mana, just raw copy, is awesome.
Yeah.
And with haste, yeah.
Then we've got Nexus of Becoming. 6 mana artifact. At the beginning of combat on your turn, draw a card. Then you may exile an artifact or creature card from your hand. If you do, create a token that's a copy of the exiled card, except it's a 3/3 golem artifact creature in addition to its other types.
If you do create a token, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You get like a dark steel golem now. Mycosynth Lattice Golem. Pretty decent. Yeah, I like that. I think that's actually a really playable card. These are better cards than the real set, by the way. We have Oltec Matterweaver, which looks like it should be a legendary card. Just the artwork, all of it.
Yeah.
I can't talk. I'm sorry for keeping clearing my throat. Audio listeners, rest in peace your ears. It's a cool looking card. 2 and a white for a 2/4 human artificer. Whenever you cast a creature spell, you choose one. Create a 1/1 colorless gnome artifact creature token. Or create a token that's a copy of target artifact token you control. That's very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Like in every Creatures Matter deck, that's very good.
Yeah, true. Then we've got Omen Path Journey. 3 and a green for an enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, search your library for up to 5 land cards that have different names. Exile them and then shuffle. At the beginning of your end step, choose a card at random exiled with Omen Path Journey and put it onto the battlefield tapped.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's very, very good. Like, that's phenomenally good. Even to just grab, like, multiple forests.
They do have to have different names.
5 land cards have different names. Again, even if you're grabbing Wooburg, then.
Yeah.
There's just, I don't know. The obvious, I think, path is to, like, go and grab your gates with this, but then if it gets destroyed, you lose your access to your gates.
True.
Pretty good, though. It's a pretty decent card. I like the artwork of it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't understand the Jason Vraska not being dead thing. Pretty weird. Pretty weird. I'm going to have to find the lore of that.
Thunder Junction is just canonically the afterlife.
It's, I don't know.
They're dead the whole time.
It's the set that has the most legendaries. To me, it just still seems a little goofy.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Right, like it's a little weird. We're all still sick here, geez. We're dying. We've got pest control. We're nearly done here, by the way, for everyone listening and watching. We're there. We're getting there, okay? It's a lot of cards. Pest control is 1 white, 1 black. Destroy all non-land permanents with mana value 1 or less and cycling for 2. That's a great get rid of your treasures cards.
Yeah.
Rest in Peace reprint.
Yeah. Then we got Sandstorm Salvager, 2 and a green for a 1/1 human artificer. When it enters the battlefield, create a 3/3 colorless golem artifact creature token. You can pay 2 and tap to put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. They gain trample until end of turn. I like it.
It's very good. We have the Simulacrum Synthesizer, 2 and a blue. When it enters, scry 2. Whenever another artifact with mana value 3 or greater enters under your control, create a 0/0 colorless construct artifact with 1/1 for each artifact you control. Decent.
Yeah. Then we've got the Sword of Wealth and Power. 3 mana for an artifact equipment. The equipped creature gets +2/+2 and has protection from instants and sorceries. Whenever an equipped creature deals combat damage to a player, create a treasure token. When you cast, when you next cast an instant or sorcery spell this turn, copy that spell. You may choose new targets for the copy and equip for 2.
I like that. That's a good sword.
What in tarnation?
Yeah, we got the Tarnation Vista. Enters tapped. As it enters, choose a color. Tap, add 1 mana of the chosen color. 1 and a tap for each color among monocolored permanents you control. Add 1 mana of that color. Pretty good in like a Sisse kind of deck where you're getting shrines and stuff like that. Like, there's lots of decks that can use this one.
Yeah. Then we've got Territory Forge, 4 and a red for an artifact. When it enters the battlefield, if you cast it, exile target artifact or land. And it has the activated abilities of the exiled card.
You hit my guy's cradle with this? Oof. I like that. Exile is pretty good.
Torpor Orb reprint.
With cool artwork for sure. Transmutation font, 5 colorless. Create your choice of a blood token, clue, or food. 3 and a tap, sack 3 artifact tokens with different names. Search your library for an artifact, put it on the battlefield, then shuffle, only as a sorcery.
Who here is making a blood token?
Right? It's a lot of... Maybe they'll do to blood tokens what they've done lately to clue and food, though. Because like the Lord of the Rings set really did make the food tokens playable. Like it's now I love them, you know, whereas before they were a meh, like they side were just kind token. Of there. Yeah. Right. And the same with clues. I've always loved clues, but like the Karloff stuff really, really brought like the clue power up. Right. So maybe mm-hmm. they'll do that. I really
hope they do that.
Oh, go ahead.
I hope they do that for treasures soon.
Yeah. Right. I was going to say, I really like the transmutation font arts.
Yeah.
Oh, take the next one. It's insane.
Yeah. We've got Vaultborn Tyrant, 5 double green for a 6/6 dinosaur with trample. When Vaultborn Tyrant or another creature with power 4 or greater enters the battlefield under your control, you gain 3 life and draw a card. When it dies, if it's not a token, create a token that's a copy of it, except it's an artifact in addition to its other types. I am picking this up for Pantlaza.
I bet you are.
Without a doubt.
That's wild.
Probably that alternate art, because that is amazing.
Yeah, the alternate art's so much better. Looks like is that Gishath or Zakama? Which one is it?
Zakama.
Oh, yeah. Well, it looks crazy, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's a very, very good ability. And then we have Worldwalker Helm, 2 and a blue. If you would create one or more artifact tokens, instead create those tokens plus an additional map token. Pay 1 and a blue, tap, create a token that's a copy of target artifact token you control. Yeah, we did it. We got there. That's it. There's really quickly, I guess we'll do a few closing thoughts on it. I think the set's goofy. I think there's some cool stuff in it and everything, but this one just didn't get me. Magic did a bad marketing play when they spoiled Bloomburrow at the same time as all these other things, because Bloomburrow is kind of the first thing recently that's felt like a Magic looking set to me, right? Everything's been like Tommy guns and vehicles and, you know, cowboy hats on Rakdos. It just hasn't felt magical to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty happy to see that it's going back more towards that. I know they were like a little experimenting, but I don't know. I felt the set's a little goofy. Like it, for once, it wasn't for me.
Fair.
But I said, I think there's some cool stuff. There's definitely a lot of cards that are great upgrades for decks in this.
Mm-hmm.
So like I may not want to build as much from it, but there's definitely very, very good upgrades in here.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I don't know kind of where I stand on this set. Like, card-wise, I like quite a few of the cards. There's quite a few of the commanders that I either have built or I'm planning on building. There's a lot of, like you said, great upgrades for other decks. And some of the precons looked really, really interesting. But like you said, it doesn't necessarily have the feel. And I mean, this might just be me, but with some sets, like, say, for example, the Doctor Who or Lord of the Rings is kind of a bad example. Like, the Doctor Who or the Fallout stuff. Like, yeah. Okay, yeah, it's not necessarily a magic feeling thing, but it's still something that...
It still fits.
It's really
right?
Cool. Yeah. Whereas over, especially more as they do it more and more, it feels like it's kind of just grading. And it's kind of like with the the Lord of the Rings style set they're doing in 2025 is Marvel.
Yeah, that's and I don't know how I'm going to feel about that one.
Yeah, it just kind of wears on you.
Yeah. I play Vial Smasher. I summon Iron Man, and he ion cannons you. The nuclear reactor in his chest goes off, destroying the city. What city? The one that was blessing you.
The city.
Yeah.
The one that was.
I did find one when I was scrolling here, though. I would love you to quickly find Doc Orlok, Grizzled Genius. It's an uncommon commander, because I will be building this one.
Doc Orlok. Oh, yes. I saw this guy.
I didn't see this until just now. This is awesome. Just quickly read this one. This will be our outro card.
Sure. Yeah, we got Doc Orlok, Grizzled Genius, green and a blue for a 2/3 legendary creature bear druid. Spells you cast from your graveyard or from exile cost 2 less, and plotting cards from your hand costs 2 less.
I really like this.
I love the art on that.
I kind of want to make like an illegal deck with this and Fibblethip, where Fibblethip plots them from the top. And
Yeah.
It's something with Doc Orlok's coming up. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah, that's it. I will. I'm going to put us to our goodbye screen. I say it's let me roll this. Where's this? I got too many buttons over here now. There we go.
All the buttons.
Thank you guys so much for listening and getting through this. It's a lot. Spoilers are a lot. I get it. I appreciate it. If you like the content we do, go to intothe99.com. Lots of articles. All of our content can be found there. If you want to support us, like, share, subscribe. It really, really helps us out. It's free. Takes no time to just click, hey, 5-star. These guys did a great job. And I'd appreciate if everyone did it. It makes more people able to see our show. So we'd really like that. If you want to go above and beyond that, which, like I say every time, everyone should be doing, come join us on Patreon. We've got lots of cool things planned. We're going to be doing some patron streams coming up shortly. Lots of fun stuff. And we've got great, great, great people in the Patreon. So come join us, build decks with us, come chat. And yeah, that's it. That's basically it. I go to our intro screen. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See you guys next week.
And a bye-bye to everyone. I just let it play for a minute, you know? Yeah. Give him a second.